it gets easier, but it doesn't. You learn how to cope with things your own way. And you just have to find that healthy way to learn how to deal with it. And mine was fly fishing and being on the river and just soaking up your surroundings and looking at everything that's beautiful around you.
Well, hello everyone, welcome to the Remote No Pressure Podcast. We're super excited that you guys are here this week. I'm excited for two reasons. Number one, this is the first episode that we've ever had a fan that I met on Instagram come on the show. So we begin to DM, and I respond. I respond to direct messages. People will tell you, emails, Facebook messages. So I'm really excited to have Greg Brown on the horn with us this week. Also, another first, we have John Murphy, who helped edit this podcast because we've been getting really busy. So John Murphy is one of our producers that we're starting to work with, and the quality is just getting better and better with every episode. So super shout out to John Murphy. You guys are going to love this episode. Welcome to the podcast. Let's light the fire. Well, today on the Remote No Pressure Podcast, we have Greg Brown with us. Thank you very much for hanging out with us, Greg.
Oh, no problem.
Well, before we get started, I just want to give you a huge thanks because you have submitted some great content to our Instagram, and a lot of our followers, you know, we always get good feedback. I always get a lot of positive response to that. So do you spend a lot of time on the water to get all that footage there, Greg?
I spend a fair amount of time on the water, not as much as I used to, but I try to get out as much as I can.
Okay, good, good. So how did you find our podcast?
Oh, geez. Honestly, I don't remember. I think it was probably on Instagram. I think someone might have posted it, or it was like an ad. Mm-hmm. Instagram does those ads now. I think it might have been an ad, and I saw it, and I was just started getting into listening to podcasts, and I saw yours, and I really thought it was rad what you were doing, so I just started listening.
Well, cool, man. Well, we really appreciate that. We always listen to feedback, and anyone that's listening to the podcast, if you want to submit some pictures to the Instagram, great. Also, if you have any suggestions or something that you want to hear, we want to hear from you. And Greg and I, we've talked back and forth, and we've met through Instagram, and it's been awesome just to kind of get to know you and what you're doing. Let me ask you this question, Greg. How did you get involved in fly fishing?
Oh, geez. It was, I actually talked to my friend who actually got me into fly fishing about this the other day. So I couldn't remember how long I've been fly fishing for, and I know it hasn't been that long. It's probably been about the same time you started fly fishing, about 5-6 years ago. Hmm. My buddy, one of my best friends, Chris, he started small, you know, like everyone else does, got me into trying to tie some flies, and one thing led to another, and I got a fly rod. We went out a few times. Obviously, I never caught anything at first, and you know, he's this great guy who's been fly fishing for years, and like, you know, his father fly fished, everything like that. So I always go out and he'd catch fish and I would never catch anything. So, but I mean, it pretty much just stemmed from that, and now here I am, and this is what I love to do.
Yeah, it kind of consumes you when you start doing it. It really just kind of gets, very few people I meet start fly fishing and then they're like, oh, I don't like it. Usually it's
yeah,
pretty consuming.
Right?
Have you ever introduced anyone to fly fishing and seen them just really latch onto it?
Personally, no, but you know, I'm never not there to teach someone, you know, I'm always more than happy to take people out, but I don't know. I just think around here, I don't think it's that big of a community, but maybe it is. Maybe there's those people that hide and do their own thing. I don't know, but I mean, I'd always love to meet new people who fly fish and introduce them.
Sure. Sure. Now, can you tell the audience where you live and where you fish?
I'm originally from the Berkshires, which is in Massachusetts, small town named Adams. I just recently moved to southern Vermont, and I been fishing a lot on the Willumsack, and I fish a couple other rivers, but unfortunately I can't tell you that, otherwise I'd probably get beat up.
Oh, yeah. So tell us about the Brigade.
Oh, the VFG Brigade. The VFG Brigade is just a bunch of guys. Actually, it all started with Vermont Fly Guys. One of my good friends, Brian Price, who's a great guy, started tying flies and made up Vermont Fly Guys. And then all of a sudden it came, you know, he asked a couple other guys to be in it. And now we're just a tight-knit group, and we fly fish all the time and tie flies and have a good time. And he just calls us the Brigade, pretty much.
And you guys have a hashtag and everything, am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's full on, full force.
What's that hashtag so people can find it?
It's VFG Brigade and Vermont Fly Guys.
All right, cool. Well, everyone, check that out. How have you used fly fishing to overcome some of life's adversities?
I mean, just getting out there and being on the river, and just, I fish a lot by myself because most of my friends, our schedules just don't mesh up. So I'm out there by myself a lot. And being out there by yourself, I mean, it gives you a lot of time to think and a lot of time to soak up your surroundings. And just being by yourself, if you can, just do it. I mean, it's humbling just being out there and being in your own thoughts, whether you catch anything or not. It's just a great time.
Do you have a pretty stressful job, or have you had anything in life that's kind of helped you overcome is, you know, going to the river and fly fishing?
I mean, I've been a mechanic for almost 13 years. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I mean, it pays the bill.
What are some things that fly fishing has helped you cope with?
It's helped me cope with a lot of things. Just about almost 3 years now, my son passed away. He was 9 when he passed. And obviously it's pretty rough on someone to go through something like that. So, I mean, in the beginning, I mean, I pretty much just sat around the house and did nothing, just trying to deal with what happened. And, I mean, I fly fished a lot before that, but that being out by myself, like I said, I love going out by myself, but it just makes you think, you know, of like what you got and how beautiful everything is. And it really helps the mind. It's humbling. You know?
Yeah. You know, we had Phil Lund on the show quite a few episodes back, and he had lost his son, and he told stories of how hard that was. I think his son was 12, I think. Don't quote
me. I do remember that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to hear how he handled that. You know, how you handle that grief, because I've got an 8-year-old that will be, he'll be 9 soon. What was that process like? I mean, you said you sat around a lot. We also have a lot of veterans that have been on here that may deal with PTSD or some kind of traumatic event. How did that go, though, that first year? If you don't mind me asking, how did he pass away?
He was at his mother's house, and it was after school, and his friend lives down the street, and they were coming back to his mother's house, and he was struck by a car while he was crossing the street.
Wow, man. I really hate to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, that had to have been a tough time, and I'm sure that was all kinds of crazy feelings. When you're out on the river, I mean, is that what helps you process that? I mean, because I mean, 3 years ago is not that long ago.
I mean, it seems just like yesterday. So, you know, I mean, It gets easier, but it doesn't. You know, I don't know if you know people who flossed. I guess you can say kids or family members, but I mean, they say it gets easier, but it doesn't. You just learn to cope with what happened in your life.
And his mom, did she have a hard time with that as well, or?
Oh yeah. I mean, we both had a hard time. After it happened, I think I went to the emergency room about 10 times because I thought I was having a heart attack. But really, I was having anxiety attacks. You know, I mean, it takes a toll on your body, and you don't realize that heartache is a real thing and that your heart can actually ache over something that's so traumatic. And I didn't understand that until later on. You know, it came to a point where the people in the emergency room started knowing me by name. And the last time I went there, the doctor was really nice, and she was like, "Greg, listen, you know, maybe it's time for you to get other help than coming here every time you think you're having a heart attack when you're having an anxiety attack." Which she was right, you know. It was time to do something else. And, you know, fly fishing definitely helped me out with that, just being out there by myself and thinking about things, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think in my head about the day that I got that phone call and rushed into the emergency room. But, I mean, it gets easier, but it doesn't. I don't know if you understand where I'm coming from with that.
I can't. I don't understand. I mean, I could say that I understand that, but I don't, you know. And I really hate that you had to go through that. And I'm glad that fly fishing. We got a lot of listeners, Greg. And there may be some people out there that may be in your situation, maybe going to lose a loved one, maybe going to, you know, maybe they just got back. They're a wounded warrior. They got some PTSD or things like that. I mean, maybe they're instead of year three, maybe they're at like day two. You know, what would you suggest to them? If you could go back to yourself day two, what would you tell yourself?
Well, like hard truth, you know, like I said, it gets easier, but it doesn't. You learn how to cope with things your own way. And you just have to find that healthy way to learn how to deal with it. And mine was fly fishing and being on the river and just soaking up your surroundings and looking at everything that's beautiful around you and thanking whatever's out there that you're still around and life, you can't predict it.
Right. Right. Gratefulness, man. Gratefulness is where it's at. Being thankful, being grateful for the things that we have, you know, you know, personally, I've been through a lot of tragedy, you know, nothing compared to that, but being thankful, right. And grateful for the things that we have. I mean, that's so key. You're right on point. You know, when you're out there and you're thankful for the life that you have and you're thankful for your surroundings and the relationships you have, man, that's the ultimate. Because in all honesty, I mean, in any day, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we had a meteor come into Michigan. I don't know if you saw that or not, but
I did not.
Yeah, it was crazy. So if you Google Eastern Michigan, what is it called, meteorite or whatever, you'll see videos of this thing. You know, and it's like, man, what if you know, anytime something could hit us, you know, like we gotta be thankful for right now for what we have and our family and our friends that surround us that support us.
Exactly. And I mean, I was just got married a little over a year ago, and you know, like my son knew my wife that I have now. They knew each other for a good couple of years, and you know, kids, you know what they say, it's like, "Oh, when are you getting married? You know, like when are you gonna do this? When are you gonna do that?" So I mean, we did it when the time was right, but you know, we got married and we bought a house and we now have a child who is a little over 6 months old now, and I thought it was going to be weird and hard, but it's not. It's a blessing for sure. I mean, I definitely love this kid. So it's a lot of fun. I wasn't sure how I'd feel, but it's a good feeling.
Now the question is, are you sleeping? If you got a 6 month old in the house, do you get any sleep, Greg?
A little bit. I mean, she mostly gets up with him because, you know, she's breastfeeding and stuff, but he's right there. So I'm up every time he's up, unfortunately.
Right. That's awesome. So when you go fly fishing, I mean, if we talk a little bit about your actual process, you said a lot, your schedule is a lot different than your friends' schedules. Do you work during the day, Greg, or in the evening, or how does that work?
I work during the day. I work Tuesday to Saturdays, but I get Sunday, Mondays off. And unfortunately, before this little bundle of joy came, I fish pretty much whenever I wanted, and now my fishing time has dwindled to Sundays only.
Well, you're lucky you get that. It sounds like you have an understanding wife. That's good that you can.
Oh yes. I mean, I couldn't get away with a lot of the fishing stuff that I do. I mean, she's very understanding, which is great, especially you should know in the fly fishing business and world, it just takes you over and it's your life.
It is. I love it. I could work all hours of the night and it's not work. I just love it. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, now your wife, who takes the pictures? Cause a lot of the pictures that you submit to us, like it's like another person's taking it. Who's behind the camera, Greg?
All my recent photos, my buddy Sean's been going with me. He's got the new like iPhone 7, so that camera is just amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I have a GoPro and I have a tripod stand as well.
Okay. What makes a great picture?
I mean, just pretty much just capturing the fish. I mean, whether you're in it or not, it's about that fish. And just trying to capture the colors and your surroundings behind you is really what you're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're in it. We're not trying to look at you. We're just trying to see that fish.
Now, there's a lot of people who take pictures. Now, what's funny about Instagram, Greg, what's funny is we're growing very quickly on Instagram. And I do not wear any of those fish bras, you know, like the girls with no shirts, but official rigs. And, you know, most of our guys that submit photos there, I mean, some of them are, you know, guides in crazy places, but a lot of them are mechanics, you know, or, you know, they snuck out of high school for the day and took a couple of pictures when they went fishing and send it over to us, you know, and it's just so cool to see the authenticity of the photos, you know, that, you know what, I'm not going to Patagonia tomorrow. I'm going to work. And, you know, and we had Danny Scarborough on the podcast a couple episodes ago from Houston. And, you know, some of his pictures, you're right. It's all about the fish because behind them, there's like in downtown Houston, you know, an apartment complex, you know, and a ditch.
Right. I see some of these photos. I'm like, are you in Bywater right now? Because it looks like you're in someone's backyard just holding a fish right now.
I think what resonates with people, because we're on Instagram and, you know, there's so much fake stuff. We're competing with these great, perfect pictures and, you know, all this instant perfection. But I think what sets us apart is the fact that we're real people, you know, and we have the audience that we have is because we're all real, you know, we're all hard workers in those pictures. I think they relate. And so if you listeners, if you check out our Instagram feed, what is your, if you want to give them, Greg, your handle there on Instagram?
My handle is waterwolf802.
And handle, I think, goes back to the CB days, doesn't it?
I think it might. mean,
I got to catch up. I got to catch up with the times, Greg. So,
I know.
But your pictures are great, so we really appreciate those. Keep them coming. So you say you use the GoPro on a tripod. Yeah. And then what GoPro is that? I mean, is it a newer one or is an older one or?
I mean, it's fairly new, I guess. Mm-hmm. I got it a couple years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after I dropped my phone in the water while I was floating. So yeah, that was a great time.
Well, tell us about that, Greg. What, did you fall in the water then, or?
I did not. Actually, it was my first pike float ever.
Huh.
And my buddy has a raft, and it only has platforms where you can stand, and everything else is open. And I had my phone in my pocket. I was stripping line out, and I went to go cast, and my line got caught up on one of the handles. I went to bend over to grab my line to untangle it, and my phone fell out, hit the platform, and went right into the lake. Yeah, I was like, oh, no. My buddy looks back, and he's like, did you get a hit? And I was like, no, I just dropped my phone.
He's
like, are you kidding me? I was like, yeah, you might want to text my wife and tell her I just lost my phone.
What's your most memorable fly fishing experience?
Oh, geez.
Story or whatever.
There's so many. I mean, obviously going out with friends is amazing, but like I said, I'm pretty much a loner when it comes to fishing. So I was out in this little lake next to the house, and I'm a kayak, and I was fishing for pike, and I'm just casting out there, stripping in, and all of a sudden it just stopped, and it felt like I was snagged, like hooked up on a log. But strips at it, and I'm holding tension to it, and it's doing nothing. So I let loose, and I'm yanking on my rod like 3-4 times trying to like unsnag my fly. And all of a sudden my fly just takes off. I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, yeah, this is a good one. So, you know, I get the pike in. It's a good sized pike. And, you know, I pick it up. I have my little contraptions, obviously, on my kayak so I can take a picture of it. I take a picture and I'm gilling it, and I go and to set the pike back in the water, and my hand must have moved forward, and my thumb went right in the pike's mouth. And right when my thumb went in its mouth, she closed her mouth.
Oh, man.
I'm like, great. I'm like, this is not going to be fun. So I pulled my thumb out, and I mean, it looked like a murder scene on my kayak. There was blood everywhere. But luckily, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I have a first aid kit.
Of course.
In my car. In my car that, you know, 40 yards away. So, you know, I release the pike, everything, she's fine, and I start paddling over to my car, get out the gauze and everything, and I'm patting down my thumb. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh, there's a little piece of skin that's coming off. So I go to pull the skin off. Nope, that's a tendon.
Oh,
that didn't feel too good. Yeah. I mean, I got myself all wrapped up, but, I mean, the pike, though, she was beautiful.
Is that the picture that you sent us?
Yep, the one that's me holding the pike in the kayak. Yeah, that's the one that drew blood.
Well, we'll post that on our blog and our Instagram so people can see. But she was a monster. Now, what were you throwing at her?
Just an articulated red and white pike fly, deer hair.
Hmm. Well, we have some monster pike in Michigan, Greg. You'll have to come and show me how to fish and catch them that big.
I know. I hear places like they got huge pike, and I'm like, yeah, I need to go there.
Yeah. Do you travel much?
Check this out.
Do you get out much?
No.
No?
Traveling, no, not so much right now. I mean, the furthest I really travel is driving distance, unfortunately. Like in western New York, like the Salmon River in Pulaski. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Okay, no.
And then I fish north for more north than I am for like muskie and pike. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. Unfortunately, what? I don't get to travel much. I'm what? Just a poor fish bum that don't get to do much.
What attracts you to pike on the fly? Because it's kind of a controversial fish. What attracts you?
Big.
What's that?
I mean, pike fishing just started getting big like a year or two ago. All of a sudden, everyone got the heat for it. But I mean, they're their own fish, really. I mean, they just have their own mindset. You could sit there and throw your fly all day long and not see anything. You could throw your fly and get two hits, not even land a fish, and that's still good enough. But once you hook into that pike and you land it, I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. They're so strong. And like I said, they have a mind of their own. I mean, you could be stripping your fly and get it right to the boat and go to pick up the fly to go cast again, and you'll have a pike come up out of the water and smash that fly.
Mm.
Or you'll strip that pike, or you'll strip your fly, have one follow you all the way to the boat and look at you and then turn around and swim the other way like nothing ever happened. I mean, they're amazing fish. They really are. They're super strong. They're just a lot of fun.
What's the biggest pike you've caught on the fly?
I mean, it's not too big in the standards of the pike that I see out there. I mean, maybe mid-30s.
Wow. That's a nice size pike still.
Oh, it definitely is. Definitely is.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us, Greg. And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that, Greg?
Best way is my Instagram, but you can also email me if they want.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to give out your email address, or should they just DM you through Instagram?
I can give it out. It's gebrown84@icloud.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight, Greg.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Remote No Pressure Podcast. Be sure to check out our website at remotenopressure.com. Sign up for our mailing list, follow us on social network, and also, if you have a moment, leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, go fishing.